Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. It's a nice Friday morning. We're heading into the weekend. The weekend, a bit of a mixed bag in the province. It's not all sunshine. There is the possibility of some showers. So for those that have been able to get the seed in the ground and the crop is already yearning for a splash of rain, that's good news. For those that still have a little bit of seeding cleanup or maybe a significant amount left to do, you wouldn't mind if the rain held off, I'm sure, to get that last little bit in the ground. But all in all, fairly nice weekend in the province. I was just down at the oil and gas show in Weyburn on Wednesday, and the one thing that I recognized is the number of provincial politicians down there. It was packed with politicians from both the Sask Party and the provincial NDP. I was able to communicate and have a chat with a number of leaders from our province who sit in the Saskatchewan legislature. And that got me thinking about the headline that made news about a month ago, and it's something that we've been wanting to follow up on. That is when NDP's Betty Nippy Albright made the decision to leave the party, leave the NDP, and sit as an independent. Betty Nippy Albright, of course, has represented Saskatoon City Centre since 2020. This decision to leave, she talked about both through the media and, of course, on her Facebook page afterwards, really centered around concerns over Bill 48, the Compassionate Intervention Act, and differences over approaches to mental health and addictions. Keeping in mind, for years, Betty Nippy Albright did that work. She worked for more than 20 years in the healthcare field in a variety of ways, including being an addictions counselor. So she brings a very important and unique perspective to this conversation. She also pointed out in some of the communication I watched, her video on her Facebook page, she is the only First Nation female sitting in the Saskatchewan legislature as an MLA. So between her work experience, her professional experience, her personal and lived experience, there is a perspective there that would be very, very valuable to a political party. And I'm sure the decision for her to leave was not an easy one, but also a tough one for the provincial NDP. This is a loss. I'm happy to say we've connected today with MLA Betty Nippy Albright, who is now sitting as an independent MLA for Saskatoon Centre. Betty Nippy Albright, thank you so much for taking our call.
Oh, thank you so much for the invite.
Good to have you here. So it's been the better part of a month. Has the dust kind of settled for you since you made this decision to step away from the NDP?
Well, we've been busy relocating office, getting adjusting to being an independent. And the moment that we had our email up and running, we had requests. We've been inundated with requests from organizations and communities to come and visit them and to talk about this bill, as well as other issues that they would like raised.
Let's talk about the bill, Bill 48, the Compassionate Intervention Act. You had a report commissioned, and I think that's at the heart of much of what has transpired. Talk about your concerns.
Well, when Bill 48 came, was presented in the first reading on December the 5th, I immediately looked at it because I also am trained as I have a master's degree in political studies, so I immediately read through it, and the moment I read it, there was serious concerns, and I realized that I didn't have the capacity to comb through it very good. So what I did was I commissioned two individuals that already do this work to assess it, to analyze it, to also identify if there's any implications, and also to propose some amendments. So that's what I did, and I was very clear that I wanted this report to be nonpartisan in any way. I just wanted the straight goods.
So you were not ultimately not satisfied with how the NDP chose to use or not use the report? Is that safe to say?
Well, I have not received support from the day that I started talking about this, that there's huge, huge issues with this bill. I was, I wanted to do consultations with stakeholders that included experts, that included individuals that were our addictions counselors in the field, and also people with lived experience and a wide variety of people. And I was told, no, we're not doing that because politically it won't look good. And my response has always been that as opposition, it is our responsibility to analyze these bills and give the citizens of the province that information, and they decide.
So can I ask, Betty, was it that you were told you couldn't do that work, or told that they wouldn't be, the NDP would not be kind of taking it to that level in terms of communication publicly?
Well, I take my responsibility very seriously as an elected official. When the leader said that politically this isn't going to look good, my response was, I'm going to do this because we have a responsibility to the people that we serve, and analyzing these bills and doing consultations is our responsibility, and I'm going to do that. So I went ahead and did it. And when the report, the caucus had ample opportunity to come to the consultation meetings and also to provide their input. And when that report was completed, I wanted to have discussion about it. And I was prevented from having that discussion only when I asked one of my white female colleagues to ask to have this discussion. Only then we had that discussion. So from December to the end of April, I was prevented from talking about this. The second reading responses, the direction was to not talk about the contents of the bill. And when I wanted to release the report, I was told no, because the NDP themselves didn't, the caucus did not commission it, and it was my office that commissioned it.
Betty Nippy Albright is my guest. I caught in your answer there, Betty, you said that only after you talked with one of your white female colleagues. Can you tell me what you meant by that, and how did that signal or play into your decisions?
You know, since December, I've really been talking a lot about Bill 48 and why it's not good for the people. And I've been brushed off, and I've been told this is not going to look politically, it's not going to look good politically if we're against this bill. And this is something that's been a pattern, where I bring this expertise, and a unique expertise. Not only do I have the education, I also have the work experience, that often when I would bring things up, it would often fell on deaf ears. And that to me sends the message to me that my opinion, my expertise is not appreciated or wanted, and only because I'm not the right kind of brown person.
You think race played into this, Betty?
Oh, absolutely. Racism is very much alive. It's very much alive in this province, and even within our political systems. And it certainly is with my experience as being an MLA for the last number of years.
Can I ask you this question, Betty? I remember Carla Beck, the leader of the NDP, leader of the official opposition, said that they had used your report, the report that you had commissioned to be done, to formulate 17 amendments to Bill 48. They proposed that in committee. Did that show you that they put some value and weight in not only you and your work, but this report?
I'm so glad that you brought that up. On May 4th, I had a meeting with the leader, and I spent that entire weekend working on my second reading response to this bill. and on May 4th, and I took notes, the directive that I was given by the leader in that meeting between the two of us was that under no circumstances was I to reference the report, to talk about it in my second reading response, and also to not reference that report in the committee later that evening. The only thing that we were able to use were the amendments. That was it. But anything else, I was directed by the leader to not talk about.
Why was that? Do you know why that was?
Because it was not something that I just have to look for my notes here. So for her, it was not negotiable. It was not negotiable that I talk about those, and that she just felt that this isn't what she wanted, and that politically already, and this is where I feel really, where I felt the frustration of her talking with a forked tongue, is when she said, we don't support Bill 48, but yet in the next sentence she's saying, we support forced treatment, when Bill 48 is about forced treatment.
Mm. Betty, are you good to hang on for a second? I really want to get your thoughts on forced treatment and why that's important. We need to take a quick break. Are you okay to hang on? We'll come back and finish up just a couple more questions before we're done. This is great. We're very appreciative to have Betty Nippy Albright joining us on the show, independent MLA for Saskatoon Centre. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.
Somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
When I was young, welcome back to the show. Betty Nippy Albright, who is the MLA for Saskatoon Centre, now sitting as an independent after she made a decision about a month ago to leave the opposition NDP over a disagreement around the strategy, the communication over the government's Bill 48, the Compassionate Intervention Act. And we are continuing our chat with MLA Nippy Albright. I wonder if I can ask you this. Let's just kind of play politics for a second. If Carla Beck, as leader of the NDP, has the goal of leading the NDP to the time, to the position that they can form government in Saskatchewan, is it surprising, Betty, that she wanted to ensure that communication around this bill didn't hurt them politically? I mean, I get it. There's the, you know, what's the right thing to do? You know, you stand by your convictions, but there's always a political slant to discussions, and the political slant usually leans to what do we need to do to form government and maintain government? Because then ultimately you can affect the control and change on all different sorts of legislation that way. Does that factor into this at all, Betty?
Well, we had an opportunity, you know, in December, and after the report was completed, to do a very thorough communication strategy, educating the public on the implications of this bill, helping them understand what we're being asked to accept, what the public is being asked to accept. And Carla Beck and the NDP did not want to do that. And I told them, that's a strategy that we have to educate the public what this is. And we have to give them the straight goods. And we have to be honest with them. We can't spin this just for the small few. This is no different, and I see this bill is no different than the pronoun bill. The SAS party used the pronoun bill for a very small group of people. The NDP is same thing with this. We had an opportunity from December to talk about this bill publicly, to give the straight goods, and the NDP decided not to do it.
I wonder about what the right path forward is. And you and I think, are respectfully on maybe opposite sides, because my experience through policing has been that what we're doing is not working. And I think you and I maybe could agree that the status quo is not good enough. We are not making a dent in the addiction problem here. I'm a person that thinks compassionate intervention has its place, and I've been thinking that way for a long time. What do you think needs to happen? What is it, quickly? I mean, I know this is probably could be a long answer, but in a nutshell, what needs to happen to get us to a better place if compassionate intervention isn't in the equation?
What could have happened? We don't need a Bill 48. What could have happened is we could have amended the Mental Health Act. That's what could have happened. We already have that act, and that could have been amended. But in terms of forcing people into treatment, and we know that it's been studied extensively, people who are detained involuntarily experience higher risk of overdose in the weeks and months following their discharge.
Is it because the supports aren't there when they're discharged?
Well, that too. They don't have a support system, but also their tolerance is reduced while their underlying conditions go unaddressed. So people that are subjected to involuntary treatment are less likely to seek help voluntarily in the future because the experience erodes trust. So when we see individuals, and I have loved ones that have died, I have loved ones that are out there on the streets, and no amount of shame, no amount of forcing them will get them to want to get help. I've been in the recovery community for over 37 years, and we always said and believed, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Mm.
And that, when we look at involuntary treatment, forcing people into these spaces, and then releasing them with no homes, no wraparound supports, we're placing them at a risk of overdose and death. And people are going to die. And that is not what the government or the opposition want people to know.
Mm-hmm. Betty Nippy Albright is my guest. We have 1 minute left, and I've got a couple of quick questions. Did the NDP try to get you to stay?
No, they didn't. And I wouldn't stay. And I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't stay.
Conversely, did the SAS party ask you to consider joining their team?
No, they haven't, and I wouldn't, because they're the ones that are introducing these bills and policies that are harming the people.
Last question. Will you continue to stay in politics? Do you plan on running as an independent or potentially for another party in the next election?
There's only two parties in Saskatchewan, and I have 2 years to continue doing my job. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in a good way, the way I always have, with integrity, honesty, and consistency.
Betty, I've appreciated your one-on-one time here today. Thank you so much for joining our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Independent MLA for Saskatoon Center, Betty Nippy Albright. We'll take our break and go into open phones here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.